Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Authors on the Air on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Pam Stack, your host for this hour of lively chat with the world's best authors. If you're listening to us live and you feel so inclined to click the follow button, I'd really appreciate it. You can follow us also on our Facebook page, Authors on the Air, and of course, on the web at www.authorsontheair.com, which is being revamped, but stay tuned. Today, one of my favorite people of all time is visiting with us. She writes in the genre of paranormal, mystical, fantasy romance, and is so much fun. Not only does she write, she's a musician, she's a graphic artist, she does all kinds of really cool things. She's a mom, she's an animal lover, she's a wife. So it's my pleasure to introduce today L.J. Rossi. Welcome, L., to Authors on the Air.
Thanks, Pam. It is wonderful to be here. I'm so excited about this.
So how are you doing today? Tell us what's happening in your day.
Oh, it's fantastic. I took a vacation day from the day job so I could hang out with you, no interruptions. It's really freezing outside, so I'm happy to be inside with two mugs of coffee, one for each hand.
There you go. What part of the country are you in, Elle?
We are in Wisconsin. And, we've had a pretty mild winter, but occasionally we get these brutal cold days.
and today happens to be one of those, I'm assuming.
Absolutely, yep.
Now, you have a couple cats. Are they curled up at your feet? I use mine as toe warmers. How about you?
Mine are my hand warmers. They are on my keyboard almost all the time, and they're nudging me. They know when I'm working that I shouldn't be working. They think that that's their time.
Of course, it's always like that.
I know.
Of course, it's always like that. And you're a mom, too, aren't you?
I am a mom. I have a daughter and a son, and they're fantastic.
How nice. And you're a wife?
Mm-hmm. I am.
How long have you been married?
Yep, 12, 13
and you
years.
You married your great all-time love, didn't you?
I did. Mm-hmm. Everybody finds them, but I found them, so I'm very fortunate.
I think that's wonderful. Tell us a little bit about yourself. What was it like growing up as L. Rossi?
Well,
from a big family.
I am from a very large family. Six girls, one boy. Grew up in Indiana, small town. Horses, goats, chickens, you name it, we had it, hanging out in the woods, hanging out till dark till mom screams your name. That's when you come home. It was a lot of fun. I actually do very much in a small town life. I think someday I would like to kind of go back to that, kind of where you know all your neighbors, and, you know, it's just a good time growing up.
That sounds great. Now, you come from a very talented family. For those of you listening, Elle has a sister who is also a very well-known writer who was on our show. You'll have to just stay tuned to the end of the show to find out who she is.
Mm-hmm.
Also to let you know that Elle and I are doing giveaways today, so pay close attention to everything she says because someone will win her entire collection of books from Authors on the Air. And I don't know, well, it sounds like a good deal to me, don't you think?
I absolutely agree. It's kind of like a fun pop quiz.
I'll tell you. So how did you get started writing?
Great question. I've always been an avid reader since probably about middle school on up, probably reading books that I shouldn't have at that age, but totally absorbed, absolutely loved it. Got into singing at a very young age, kind of followed in a couple of my sister's footsteps and did that for many years for a living. And it's such a high to be up there and to, you know, just have the music around you and it's an escape. And then, you know, family comes along and you move on from that part of your life. And I just thought, I need a creative outlet. And my sister, who we've not mentioned or not said her name yet, she was an author and she's just give it a try. And I did. And I was hooked from probably page one. And really, really enjoying the process. So,
well, let's talk about your first published work. Tell us about it.
Okay. The first one, the first published one is a self-published novella called Chasing Fate. So I actually got to work with two really great authors, Baron Ray and Rachel Furosek. And we each wrote a story about one of the fates. And that one was a lot of fun. I was so happy to be invited to do something like that. And it's actually one of my favorite stories so far. Really fell in love with those characters.
Now, this is a novella. And for those of you who follow Elle or myself on Facebook, this little novella is a great introduction to Elle's work. And we were actually giving away copies all this week and might still do that again, right, Elle?
I'm all for it.
We love to give away your book, Chasing Fate. So, can you give us a thumbnail? Tell us about, first of all, the series, because you've got a trilogy right now about the Fates. And then can you give us a thumbnail about that and then an overview of specifically Chasing Fate?
Absolutely. So what we did was we each had one of the Fates, and mine happened to be the one who gets to snip your life. And I kind of wanted that because I definitely like a little bit of a darker feel to it. So each of us kind of had an adventure, and we brought them to Earth and hooked them up with, you know, sometimes immortal, sometimes not immortal, and just had them go on a really great adventure and ultimately find that true love that, you know, one wouldn't think that they would be able to get with them, you know, everything that they have going on in their very, very long lives. So I've had a Tropos, who is the death fate, and I brought her down and had her. She actually had to kill a guy, but it wasn't love at first sight, but there was definitely something about him that she hesitated. She hesitated, but ultimately I won't tell. It's a spoiler. I almost did.
There you go. Don't tell.
I know.
But she is forced to kill in this, and so, but these are very sexy, very sensuous books. They're very mystical. All of them are, but of course, I'm partial to yours. It is paranormal romance, and it's fabulous. So this is about the Greek Fates, to let you know. It's the three ancient goddesses who play a role in the myth. So the other novels are by Rachel and Baron, right?
Baron. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So how fun is that? Do you think you'll be continuing on with a Fate novel?
Not the Fates, but
like
we thought about
again?
Doing the Furies. And that would be a lot of fun to kind of work with Baron and Rachel again and take another spin. We thought, well, hey, we'll bring them to New York City and see what kind of damage they can do. So we'll see.
Well, hey,
that might be in the works.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Now, this is independently published, or are you traditionally published with Chasing Fate?
Chasing Fate is independently published.
And how did you like that process?
You know what? It was definitely a learning curve and something I really, really enjoyed. It's kind of nice to have complete control. We designed our own covers and, you know, we worked with a great editor on all of it. So it made me realize that I do want to have kind of my hand everywhere, do some independent, some with traditional publishers, and, you know, just see what works best.
So this is an interesting genre. You know, a lot of times you hear people saying, well, write what you know. Well, of course, you're writing in paranormal, mystical, and fantasy. So how do you get your story ideas for something like that?
I write what I wish I knew. I don't know. It's still part of me. I really, really believe in magic, and I think that life would be incredibly boring without it and way too serious. So I kind of, you know, let my characters take me on a journey that I wish I could go on. But, you know, we'll probably never get a chance unless I find that vampire around the corner.
Right. Well, we should explain we're not talking card trick magic.
No.
We are talking magic with a K. Magical.
Yes.
And that's way different than, you know, pulling a rabbit out of your hat. Although I guess, you know, who knows?
Yeah, you know.
So... your story ideas kind of come from what you wish you could do, and you have obviously a very fertile imagination. In your process, does the muse strike and then you write, or do you have a disciplined time for yourself? Do you sit down, you know, you say, I've got to write today, I have to do it, this is the time I've set aside. How does it work for you?
That works. That works during deadline time. Other than that, I write any chance I get. I work a full-time day job. I'm a mom. I have animals. I work the cover art business as well. So any spare second I get up, I'm writing. If I'm waiting for water to boil, I'm writing. So I'll take it anytime I can get it.
I think most people don't realize, most readers don't realize, and especially in today's world of self-publishing,
mm-hmm.
that most writers also have a day job.
Yeah, they
and,
do.
So can you expound on a little bit? How do you separate your evil day job from the wonderful, magical world that you write in?
Mm-hmm.
Is it frustrating for you?
You know, sometimes it can be, but I'm very fortunate to actually love my day job, and I work with really great people who let me bounce ideas off of them. And I recently started putting pixie dust all over everybody and telling them it's our mojo for the day, and they roll with it. I work in a dental office, and you wouldn't think so, but I work with a great bunch of people who let me be magical all day long, so that helps.
I'm sure you're the hit of the office, especially with your patients.
Something. I am something in that office.
Well, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the next book.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the next book, which is...
The one coming out next?
No, you have another book that's already out, don't you?
Broken Flight comes out next Thursday,
yes.
So I'm very excited
right.
about that. But book two of the right. Brennan Colvin trilogy comes
yes.
out March 11th.
How exciting for you.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting.
How exciting
time.
For you. Okay,
yeah.
So we've got The Luminary, which is out already.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yeah.
And tell
That's
us about
The Luminary.
That's my first
Wikipedia. Yeah,
the
Luminary.
One. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what a Luminary is, first of all.
Okay. The Luminary is one of the most powerful witches that there is. She has a great, great deal of magic. Mira's story is that she didn't realize it. She had no idea she was a witch, just knew that she was different. Her mother had to send her out kind of into the real world to protect her. But ultimately they found her and she discovered her power. And so it's kind of about learning that. She needs to learn how to produce magic and how to use it. And she's being pulled from the light side to the dark side. And she's straddling that line and not sure where she's going to end up. But, you know, everybody has to make a choice at some time.
This is also a love story. This
it
is a very
is.
Great, big love story, isn't it?
It is. It's with Ganym. I love Ganym. Mm-hmm.
Ah. It's a great character. Tell us how you came up with him.
Well, the name Ganym actually came from a young boy I met once who just had the best, most infectious personality. And I thought, I love you and I love your name and you're going to be my hero someday. So he is. And Ganym is actually a guardian and he just kind of, he made himself. A lot of my characters do that. I kind of start with just a glimmer of an idea and they just take hold and they run and they lead me on a journey. And Ganym is strong and he's tortured and that's kind of the best that you can be.
Now you have a very interesting antagonist also in The Luminary. Can you dish a little bit about your antagonist?
I can. You know, I love the bad guys. One day I think I'd like to write a book about just from their point of view and what made them, you know, who they are.
Made them so bad, right.
I know, and he's a soul sucker. He literally, you know, takes people and takes their beauty, their inner beauty, their outer beauty, whatever beauty they possess, he takes it so that he, in his mind, becomes a beautiful being. But no, he's not. He's horrible.
Wow. Now, I'd like you to tell our listeners, first of all, because this is really important, where to find you on the web. There's a method to my madness for saying that. So please give us your web address.
Absolutely. www.ljrossi.com. So easy.
Now, on this incredible web page, which the talented Miss Rossi designed herself, is a trailer for Broken Flight, which is the next book that's coming out. Oh, my God.
Did you watch it?
I've watched it four times. What an exquisite trailer. Can you tell us a little bit about it? How did it happen? Did you do it, or who did?
I did not do it. I was fortunate enough to have somebody contact me and to do some kind of some swag materials for them through the cover art business. And her name is Teresa McClinton, and she's fantastic. And she mentioned that she did trailers. And I said, oh, I've always kind of wanted a trailer. Can you hook me up? So I kind of gave her some information on Broken Flight, and she totally surprised me and took it and ran with it. And I sat here, and my back was so tense as I'm watching it. And I thought, oh, my gosh, this is totally it coming to life. And then I bawled like a baby.
Yeah, that's okay.
I cried, too.
It's amazing. It is a beautiful, beautiful book trailer, Broken Flight. This is the official book trailer by El Rossi. And the book is coming out in 2 weeks, is it? Or one week?
One week.
We're 1 week and counting now. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're
mm-hmm.
1 week and counting. So let's talk about Broken Flight, because this picks up another part of the story.
This one's actually the beginning of a separate story, separate series altogether.
Right.
Are you familiar with NaNo, the National Novel Writing Month?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. This was a NaNo story, and something that I wanted. What they do is they challenge you to write 50,000 words in a month, which I thought was incredibly impossible, but was determined, and I actually made that goal, so I was very happy about that. But that's a couple years ago, and then it took me this long to actually get the story to where it needed to be. But, you know, it's about fallen angels and soulmates and, you know, that one true love that even after death you just can't let go of. And I loved it. It's during one of a very dark time in my life, and it kind of comes across that way, but there's a lot of hope in it, too.
And if you watch the trailer, listeners, you will see that this is going to be one heck of a book. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it's
mm-hmm.
going to be a good read. And I think maybe I might like to gift someone with the pre-order on that. So stay tuned, and let's see what happens. You have an anthology of Celtic Tapestry.
Yes.
Done with some other writers. I want to hear all about this. I'm very, very fond of Celtic myth and lore and so mm-hmm. on. Will you tell us a little bit about the book in its entirety, but specifically what you did as well?
Absolutely. So Miranda Stork of Moonrose Publishing contacted me and asked me if I would want to participate in this anthology. And I thought, yep, I really do. She chose the 8 Celtic holidays and assigned each author to a different holiday. And I got the spring equinox, which I was very excited about. Because, I mean, I don't know a lot about Celtic, but I kept learning more and more, and it's just really, really interesting. So mine features a vampire, which I've grown to love, and then a huntress. So, you know, and it's Nashville, my favorite city.
Wow. It sounds fun. I haven't read that one, so that one is one I'm going to read when it comes out. That's due on, you'll release that on the 21st of March, is that correct?
21st of March, yep, it's all coming out.
And then prior to that, you have on March 11, you've got The Soother coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us about that one, too?
I can. The Soother is a follow-up to The Luminary, so it's book 2 of the Brennan Coven trilogy. And this one features Calliope, who is actually the Soother Witch. So what that means is that anybody who's, you know, feeling down, she kind of is in tune with that energy. And from skin-to-skin contact, she can force some tranquility into your body. But unfortunately, that kind of sucks all the energy out of her. So her magic is the soothing, and then she meets a half-wizard, half-vampire by the name of Kristoff, who just totally rocks her world.
I love vampires.
I do,
don't you?
Too. I do.
You and I talk a lot about this when we're online. We talk about Fang and you guys too, right? Tons of fun. Honestly, mm-hmm. you got to pop over to Elle's Facebook page and really get in on the conversation. It's a lot of fun. Elle, does your family read your work? Do they read your book other than that sister? We know she does.
Mm-hmm.
But do the rest of your family members read your work?
They do. My husband doesn't, and that is okay because he's 100% supportive of me, but it's not his type of read, so I don't even really want him to read it. Does that
not
make sense?
Not his genre, right.
It's
yeah,
not
it's not his
genre.
Genre.
And so I know he would only be doing it just to appease me, and I don't want him to. I love readers. Just read what you want,
right.
When you want, whatever you want. But right. everyone else does. All my friends, all my family. My mom reads it. It's really exciting.
It is exciting. Mm-hmm. Are there, other than the one sister, now you have a very creative family.
I do.
Does it manifest in other ways besides just writing?
Yeah, everybody can sing. I told my mom, I tell her over and over again, we could have been the Jackson 7. And you could have been a billionaire.
Or the Osmond family.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The
She's like, I didn't have time
family.
For that. Mm-hmm.
That is
yeah.
so funny. When you're writing, and I want to talk about your process a little bit, because everybody
sure.
has a different process. When you're writing, do you let your characters kind of drive your book, or does your story your drive it and the characters fall in line? How does it work for you?
Great question. My characters never fall in line, ever. They definitely drive the story. I can have a complete idea in mind, have it. I'm not much of a plotter, but there are occasions when I do plot out certain things, and then I look at it at the end, and it never turned out that way at all because somebody else had something else in mind. So I'm really what they call a pantser and just kind of go with it, which is very fun for me because then I have no idea what's going to happen on the next page either.
So you're always surprised by what happens in your story.
Always. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I always run with it. I never back them up either. I just go where you need to go.
You kind of have to because then it's not organic if you don't do it that way. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I mean, I'm not a writer. I'm a reader. As most of my guests know, that I read anywhere from 300 to 400 books a year. And so, but I couldn't write to save my life. I mean, I could do a review, but... the process fascinates me. It fascinates me. It really does. Mm-hmm. And there, you can tell when an author is in touch with her story because it just flows in a very organic manner. And it seems to me that that is your special talent.
Thank you.
There's a surprise around the corner, and that's nice. Because it seems to be, does it surprise you as well?
Absolutely. You know, sometimes I'm driving on the way to work and I'm just excited because I don't know what they're going to do next and I can't wait to get home and, you know, just type a word that leads to the next one and, you know, they've got me gasping.
That's great.
So
do you have a critique group that you work with?
I do. Actually, I have a critique partner who is Baron Ray and, you know what, I really don't know what I would do without her. She's hardcore. And we laugh all the time, and she can tell me something completely stinks, and I'm, fine, whatever, yeah, move on. and then I work with I was on with my sister, and I work with Cynthia Valero, and we're with Baron as well. We're called the Bards of Badassery, and we just kick each other's butt all day long. Isn't that fun?
I do love it, I have to say.
I got to give Baron credit for that. She's got away with words.
Obviously, I think you do too. I think you all do. Very talented, wise women. I love it. Have you ever thought about changing genres, or is there more of this genre still to come out for you? You've got a lot of it in you, or are you? I mean, I know you love steampunk too.
I do. So, I would really like to try my hand at that. That's a complex world, so it would definitely be a challenge. But I'd like to try it. I would.
Yeah. Well, for those of our listeners who don't know what steampunk is, maybe you can give them a little primer on it, please.
Oh, I can definitely try. Steampunk, if you ever saw the movie Wild Wild West with Will Smith way back in the day, that's kind of the steampunk era, and there's gadgets and those traveling hot air balloon things that's not called hot air balloons. You know what I'm talking about.
I always like to use League of Extraordinary. What is it? The League of Extraordinary
Gentlemen
as one. And 2000 Leagues Under the Sea. All of those. It's kind of taken a Victorian attitude and giving a little spin on it. And you imagine hot air balloons with steamships attached to them and things like that.
Yes.
And the style of clothing is very unusual, too. It's very Victorian, but also it's not revealing, but it's a
very
sexy way to dress.
it very covered up, that very you really want to know what's under those layers and the goggles and all those things. That it's crazy. When you see a good steampunk costume, your jaw hits the floor.
Exactly. And we should maybe explain that you'll notice in steampunk there are a lot of gears and wheels and gadgetry and things like that.
Yep.
And it's in all shapes and sizes. So it's really fun, fun stuff. You have gotten a lot of really good reviews, Elle. I read some of the reviews for all your books on Amazon, and you really have gotten a lot of praise as being the up-and-comer in the genre and having a very unique POV. What happens if you don't get a good review? I couldn't find any not good reviews for you, but if someone says something negative, how do you take that and how do you deal with it? Is there a learning curve with it?
I think that you can learn something from every negative comment out there, and they're coming. I know that they're going to come. Some people, you know, are only post the positive reviews. You know, some people, if they don't like something, they don't feel comfortable, you know, putting it out there. But I say go for it. Everybody's not going to like everything. And there's always a little nugget you can learn from somebody who did. Why didn't they like it? And can I learn from that experience? Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
So I'll take any review I can get at any time because I want to know. I want the feedback.
Right. Well, one hopes that they're targeting their feedback toward the writing itself and not just, oh, this is a crap genre, you know,
exactly.
Which is something that happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of steel yourself for those type of things. But do you check your reviews on a regular basis by any chance?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
you admitted it.
I really do, especially when the book first comes out. I'm excited to see a new one come up because, to me, it's exciting because I know that someone actually read it. And, you know, I'm really still pretty new to this, so to know that people are out there and they're not only buying, but that they're taking the time and to read it from beginning to end, it's amazing to me. It's an amazing feeling.
I'm very happy for you, and believe me, one of your biggest fans, as you well know.
Thank you.
Who would we find on your bookshelves?
You would find J.R. Ward, Gina Showalter, Kristen Painter is one of my new favorites. She's going to be a must-buy for years to come. You're going to find Nora Roberts because I'm totally in love with every piece of work she's ever done.
What about J.D. Robb? Do you read that one, or do you only read her as Nora?
No. I read J.D. Robb, too. That's Faith.
Okay.
Right? No, Eve. Eve and Rourke,
right.
Yes. Love
uh-huh.
them. Mm-hmm.
Very good. So you've always been a reader, and I think that that's imperative. A lot of new authors always ask me, you know, how do I get started, or wannabe authors, I say.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say you have to be a reader first. Is that in your mind correct?
It's absolutely correct. And not only first, you have to continue to do so. You know, as you're writing, sometimes you get busy and you seriously forget to read, and I notice that when I remember, hey, I got this book that I've been dying to read, and I start reading it, my writing is actually better because it just,
that's,
you know, fuels creativity, and you know, you have so much, there's so many amazing authors out there and so much that you can learn from all genres.
Right, do you ever read your work out loud when you're writing? When you've got a work in progress, do you read out loud what you've written?
Only occasionally. If a certain scene is tripping me up, then I'll go hide away in my room and read that out loud. Typically not, and I know that you're supposed to, but I don't know.
Are you really?
I don't have a... You are. I hear that all the time. My critique partner swears by it. She'll read from... If she wrote a 100,000-word novel, she'll read it from beginning to end out loud. But I don't have a lot of alone time, so I feel kind of awkward doing it in front of kids and husband and cats and all that.
Right. I like to read out loud simply because I like the way words sound to me. But since I'm not a writer, I think that it probably, for the nuance of a conversation and the cadence of the voice of a character, you might need to do that. So I wouldn't read 100,000 words out loud, but I'm reading a book right now where I love the prose itself, so I will read part of it out loud over and over again because it sounds so lyrical to my ear. How has your writing changed from the very first book, from the novella to the newest book coming out? How do you think your writing, or has it changed?
That's a great question. I think it's has a lot more flavor, a lot more layers. Obviously, I think anybody, unless they were just born a genius, are kind of pretty basic in the beginning, and there's not a lot of description that's, you know, or maybe all description and no dialogue. So you kind of learn a good mixture of the two, and I'm still learning that process. And, you know, I don't really do what they call a rough draft. I kind of try to perfect each chapter as I go along, but I just keep layering and layering and adding, you know, just more to the mix.
Do you edit as you go along?
I do.
Interesting. A lot of writers will wait till the end and then go back and edit. I would find that almost overwhelming. And trust me, I do a lot of editing, a lot of beta reading, and I can tell you that it's very difficult to do it in whole chunks like that, just the whole book
it
all
is.
At once. The upside to it is that you learn the writer's style of speech, so to speak. In other words, you know, if you're writing in a certain era, or you know, or a certain culture or anything, you have to train your ear to listen to what it is the writer is saying and understand that this is just the, you know, I for example, I have one fellow who has a very street lingo, jingo type language, and so, you know, I'm not so much looking for corrections in punctuation or words,
right,
things like that. So that's why I was very curious about reading out loud and editing on a, you know, chapter to chapter thing. Well, I know you do a lot of other things besides write, and I think it's fascinating. So I want to find out a little bit more about you. What do you do because I want to know about your other life. You have a whole other life. So what do you do when you're not writing?
Well, I am, you know, hanging with the kids. They are very active, doing a lot of sports. So we're in the gym quite a bit, which is good. Good socializing hour for me. I love hanging out with my friends and doing country karaoke. It's a blast. We laugh hysterically. That's a good getaway for me, a good escape. You know, I'm doing
cover art. You have a music background.
I do.
We got to back up the bus, girlfriend. you have a music background. You started off as a singer, didn't you?
I did, yep. I sang for a good probably 10 years, and that was my job, singing. It was fun.
Well,
a lot of
fun. I want to hear, I want to hear more about this because I have found that the overwhelming majority of the writers that I speak to also have another creative outlet, and for most of them, it's music. There are those who also paint and do other things, but you actually use music in a profession. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, actually, the day after high school graduation, my parents helped me move out to the East Coast to, actually, I was moving in with one of my sisters out there, and she was already in the entertainment business, and, you know, auditioned for some bands and kind of just hit the road. I had to travel so much. Seriously, for about 10 years, I lived out of hotel rooms, and it was a lot of fun. Didn't save a dime, and I should have, but that's okay.
You had fun when you were young. What kind of music did you sing?
At the time, and I'm kind of dating myself, it was, you know, top 40. That's what they called it. So it was the dance music, anything that you would hear pop on the radio, anything that we could get people out of their chairs and dance into, that's what I sang.
But that's not your favorite.
No, in hindsight, I wish I would have moved my butt straight to Nashville. I truly love country music, and I think it's probably what I'm best at. So I wish I would have done it and pursued it, and that would have been a whole new world.
So who are your favorite country artists, past and present?
Oh, present right now is Mr. Jason Aldean. I want to sing a duet with him in the worst way. Love Miranda Lambert. Love Lady Antebellum. So many good ones out there right now. Past.
They really are.
Past, I'll take, you know, Reba. I used to love Barbara Mandrell. So that's, I mean, that's
Reba
one
just
way
came
back,
out with something
but
new, though, didn't she?
Who, Reba? Yeah, she's still in the game big time. She really is.
She is in the game. Wow. That's really cool.
Thanks.
I'm so glad you told us that. So that's a lot of fun. What else do you – you've got animals that are so gorgeous.
Thank you.
I want to talk about your kitty cats because,
okay.
as most people know, I have five of my own rescue cats who
mm-hmm.
control my life. So
mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about your kitty cats because you post pictures of them often.
I do. I think I have more pictures of them than my children, and I'm not sure what that's saying. But I have Sir Remington, who is, he kind of rules the house. He's got a fantastic personality. He's a white Maine Coon, so his hair, I wear that everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And then when he was, so he's about two now, when he was about a year old, we thought, because my husband and I both work, we're out of the house all day, that he just seemed kind of lonely. So we had to get him a friend. And that's Roscoe. And Roscoe is, now he's kind of ruling the house, and he's a little spitfire. He's black, short-haired, and I said his name should have been Salem because he's definitely a witch cat, but very sweet.
But
very sweet. But
you
now
grew
I think
up
need-
around animals, didn't you? You had
yes.
all kinds of animals in your family.
Yes.
So this just kind of comes second nature. This is a normal thing for you, right?
It does. I don't know how people can't have animals. They kind of soothe the soul. You know, if you're ever having a tough
yeah.
day, just, you know, they curl up with you. They hang with you. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm suspicious of people who don't like animals. Sorry. I'm suspicious of them. Now, you also have a completely related but unrelated business. You
yes.
have a graphic art and book cover design business, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tell us
I
that.
I do. I will. That actually started, I'm going to go with a year and a half ago, just kind of playing around and, you know, messing with mock covers for myself for inspiration. Okay, here's kind of a book I have an idea for, and this will inspire me to write it. And then I thought, maybe I have a knack for this. And just started, kept working and working, and then, you know, had a couple of people interested in it, and it's just really taken off from there, and I get to work with really amazing people, and we're doing cover art together, and book swag, bookmarks, anything that you need, I'm really ready to do.
That's fabulous. Tell us where we can find you for that particular business of yours.
Absolutely. There is a link on my main, you know, my author website, but you can go straight to www.ejrdigitalart.com, and then it has lots of samples and, you know, everything that I can do for you.
Wow. So are you allowed to share any of the book covers? Are you allowed to tell us any of them, or is that confidential?
Oh, I don't think it's confidential at all.
Oh, good dish. I love dish. Tell me, what do you design book covers for?
Absolutely. I have worked several times with Jordan Merrill, and she's fun to work with. And we did actually four of her books so far. So you can see them definitely on my book cover site. I worked with Casey Clifford, who is amazing. C.B. Scott are some of the most recent ones I did, and those were kind of revamped covers. These books were written several years ago, and they're re-releasing them. And that is with my sister, and Cynthia Valero co-wrote some books years ago. So these new covers are really popping, and I like them a lot.
Oh, fun. So you're looking to expand and to go further with this, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's going to bump up against this great writing career you've got going, too.
I'm going to manage it. I'm going to handle it.
You're a multitasker, are you?
That's right. That's right.
I love this. This is great. How has your writing changed you personally?
Definitely changed my vocabulary, and I don't know if that's for the good or the bad, but I know some words that I probably should not know, and I'm using them quite frequently. Other than that, I think it's made me more confident. Able to talk to people more, because I think there's, for the most part, there's a lot of readers out there. So I can talk to anybody about any book ever, and they can recommend, and I can recommend. And so that, I think it really has built confidence, and that's what I'm most proud of.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing to be able to do. That's terrific. What's next? You do so many things. What is next for you? What are you ready to try now?
I am ready to try my hand at a true urban fantasy. So a little bit of romance thrown in there, but not, it's not going to have a happily ever after. Maybe a happily for now. But I want to get really dark and intense and down to the nitty-gritty of it and just, you know, have some major action in there, a lot of paranormal beings, and bring them, you know, right here to us.
Wow. Well, now that's going to be a big change-up for you.
A little bit.
Change-up for you. Yeah, yeah. Well, I wish you the best on that. Hey, I know you've got a lot of listening friends out there, and I thought maybe you'd want to give a little shout-out and tell us all again where we can find you. So who do you want to shout-out to today?
Absolutely. I'm going to shout-out to my husband, Larry, and my two children. I know they're not listening now, but they're going to listen when they get home. And Baron Ray, my critique partner, Cynthia Valero, my sister, who we're going to mention in a minute, my other sister, Brenda, who I know she's rooting for me on Facebook right now. Terry's listening in. So, hey, girl, you know, I have so many supportive friends and family that I'm really blessed.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Should we do the reveal on who your sister is? Because she's been a guest here.
Yes, yeah, I know. I listened on that one.
Let's talk about her a little bit and how she's inspired you. What is her name?
Beth Sciotta.
Beth Sciotta, which is how I found the lovely El Rossi through Beth Sciotta, whose books I've been reading for years now.
Yeah.
How has Beth helped you, and does she give you advice?
Yes, all the time. Well, every day I ask her some question or another, whether it pertains to a story I'm writing or just industry news or, you know, strategic planning. She always is there. She, you know, never tells me she doesn't have time. And let me tell you, when I say deadlines, that is her middle name, and she's got a ton of them. But so supportive. I'm so lucky and fortunate to be on this journey with her, and it's, you know, nice to be able to share that with someone that's so close to me.
Are you two going to be at Romantic Times together, which is the reader-writer convention, in case anybody's interested?
Oh, yes,
are you sitting side by side? Yeah.
Yep, we are. We are going to do some damage. Last year was my first year, and she introduced me to so many fantastic people that I've been able to keep in touch with. So it's kind of like a reunion, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to do a reader's party, and we're all going to, you know, dress up. She's going to be in steampunk gear. I'm going to dress up in my goth witch stuff, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Oh, it's going to be fun. That sounds great. I'm going to have to register. That's all there is to it. I know too many of you who are going, so I've got to go. Just
you
to
have
do the,
to
eye,
go.
The eyeball. I'm telling
right?
you, I have to. Oh. Oh, my God. And the steampunk costume is what I have to see, because, you know,
yeah.
I keep sending you guys all those pictures. That necklace was outrageous, wasn't it? That I said?
The best ever.
That goes down the back? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Did it happen to have
okay.
a price tag on it? Because I'm thinking, whoo, way out of my league.
Oh, I know. But, you know, we got to find somebody who's very crafty to go ahead and do something like that. Oh,
so there you go.
Got off track here. I'm sorry. We do have listeners here. If you want to know what we're talking about, you've got to go to Facebook, and you've got to go and listen to, go ahead and read on Elle's page. She's terrific. She posts the best stuff. It's so funny. Honestly, and when she's sitting around looking for someone to talk to about her vampire, you know, you get to tell all about yours, too. Tell us where you are. This is really, really important. Let's go through this again. We can find you at ljrossi.com. I know that. Your digital artwork is found at?
ejrdigitalart.com.
And you're on Facebook?
I'm on Facebook under LJ Rossi and LJ Rossi Author, so find me under both or either. And Twitter is just at LJ Rossi. Super easy to find me anywhere, and I love meeting new people.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, in what I love to call my homage to Inside the Actor's Studio, before I let you go, I have a few questions I'd like to ask you.
Uh-oh. All right, I'm ready.
Okay. So whose book would we find on your nightstand or next to your favorite chair?
Right now it's Gina Showalter, Last Kiss Goodnight.
God, wasn't that a great book?
I know, no, I'm not done yet. Shh, don't tell
me. Oh, my God. So good, I've read everything she has. Okay. Hey, excuse me, I got sidetracked there. Let me get the train back on the track.
Okay.
Elle, what would we find in your writer's toolbox?
Coffee. That's it. Lots and lots of coffee.
Okay. Are you invigorated or exhausted after writing?
Invigorated.
Good. If you weren't a writer, what would you be doing? Could choose anything.
Oh, I'd be opening up at the Grammys.
There you go.
Uh-huh.
I love that. Or maybe be nominated.
Oh, there you go.
What one thing would people be surprised to learn about you?
Surprised to learn about me. That's a tough one. Because I'm pretty out there with everything. I don't have a lot of secrets. I'd say they'd be surprised to learn that I'm actually pretty private and a little bit of a homebody.
Huh, interesting. This is my favorite one. At what point were you comfortable enough to call yourself author?
The day Chasing Fate released. It was probably one of my proudest moments of all time, and I thought, oh, no, it's official, and I'm going to yell it to the world.
Congratulations, author.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have so loved having you come here today. You're such an interesting person. And, I'm a big fan of your writing anyway, so that goes without saying. But when your books come back out and when you do your urban romance, mm-hmm. will you come back and visit with us again, Elle?
Absolutely. I'm going to beg for a spot.
Oh, you don't have to beg. It's a guarantee.
Thank you.
Okay, Rossi, thanks so much. Your books are coming out very, very soon. We have the first one drop on the 26th or 28th of February?
28th.
And then again, you're in March on the 13th. And go to Elle's webpage and go to her Facebook page to find out. And you've got to go look at the trailer for, oh, my gosh,
Broken
it's so
Flight,
beautiful.
Yeah.
For Broken Flight, it is an absolutely beautiful trailer. And it will give you, this is better than looking at the back cover of a book, because you hear the beautiful music and you see what is happening and you read the words. It's incredible. Elle, you are a delight.
Thank you so much for being with us.
And
you're
to
welcome.
Our listeners, I want to remind you that next week is one of my most favorite, probably my favorite, Florida author, Paul Levine. He of the Lassiter series and Simon vs. Lord will be joining us next Wednesday at 11:30 Eastern Standard Time. Please remember to go and like us on Facebook and check out our webpage and follow us on Blog Talk Radio. I hope this week coming up you're going to pick up one of Elle Rossi's books and listen in. Go to Elle's Facebook page because we're going to post a contest question there. And if you get it right, you could win the entire collection. And we might even just give away some more books just for the fun of it and give away pre-order books for Elle. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Remember to snuggle with your companion animals, your cats and your dogs, and whoever else you love. Pick up a good book this weekend, hopefully Elle's, and we'll see you next week. This is Pam Stack with Authors on the Air signing off. Thank you. Elle, are you there?